Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, January 22nd, Pope Francis calls for a culture of welcome and decries policies that have left migrant ships stranded in the Mediterranean. Scores of civilians are killed in an attack by Islamist militants in Burkina Faso. And world leaders prepare to mark the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camp. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. During his weekly general audience today, Pope Francis dedicated his catechesis to hospitality, the theme of this year's Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. Addressing the faithful gathered in the Paul VI Hall, the Pope urged all men and women of goodwill to be like the people of Malta, who welcomed and accepted St. Paul and his companions in their moment of difficulty as they were shipwrecked on the island. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Pope Francis urged men and women of goodwill to promote and practice a culture of welcome, especially towards vulnerable migrants in search of a better life. He decried recent government policies that have seen migrant ships in the Mediterranean being denied access to a safe port.
Tanti volte non li lasciano sbarcare nei porti.
Speaking during his general audience on Wednesday, the Pope referred to the passage in the Acts of the Apostles in which St. Paul is shipwrecked on the island of Malta. The Pope compared St. Paul and his companions to the migrants of today. The hospitality they received from the people of Malta, said the Pope, reflects the love of God. Pope Francis said that many times, just as Paul and his companions did, those who are traveling experience indifference, the hostility of the desert, the rivers, the seas. Many times, he said, they don't allow them to dock in ports.
Sperimentano l'indifferenza, l'ostilità del deserto, dei fiumi, dei mari.
The theme chosen for this year's Week of Prayer for Christian Unity is hospitality. Being brothers and sisters in Christ, the Pope said, means recognizing each other as such. Only in this way, he continued, can hospitality become an important ecumenical virtue. God's love is reflected through considerate gestures. St. Paul and his companions were given shelter from the rain. They were given food and fire to keep warm. Upon reaching land, said Pope Francis, they experienced something new, this rare humanity after the violence of the ocean.
E lì sperimentano qualcosa di nuovo. In contrasto con la brutale violenza del mare in tempesta, ricevono la rara umanità degli abitanti dell'isola.
Ecumenical hospitality, continued Pope Francis, requires the desire to know what experience other Christians have of God. As Christians, we must learn to work together to show migrants God's love. We must bear witness to the fact that each and every person is precious to God and loved by Him.
Ma che ogni persona è preziosa per Dio e amata da Lui.
Finally, Pope Francis urged the faithful to work together to practice hospitality.
Lavorare insieme per vivere l'ospitalità ecumenica.
Especially towards those whose lives are most vulnerable, as this will make us better human beings, better disciples, and a more united Christian people. I'm Christopher Wells.
Meanwhile, strikes and protests are being held on the Greek islands of Lesbos, Samos and Chios over the government's handling of migrants arriving from Turkey. John Carr in Athens reports.
Businesses on three major Greek islands closed their doors today to join a mass protest against a constant influx of migrants, which they claim has overwhelmed the local economies. Shops and services on Lesbos, Samos and Chios closed for 24 hours, while thousands of people, many carrying Greek flags, gathered in the main square of Mytilene on Lesbos. They called on the government here in Athens to scrap plans to house the migrants in more permanent quarters, claiming it will only encourage more to come. Already, Lesbos has more than 20,000 migrants huddled in makeshift camps. It's a population almost as large as that of the island itself. And many locals blame the migrants for heightened crime, and farmers claim their sheep are being stolen. Generally, they say, the island's resources are simply not enough to support the newcomers. Last week, the Greek government upgraded its migrant and refugee service to full ministry status, but that hasn't mollified the islanders, who fear that the government is unwilling to exercise stricter border controls and send back to Turkey those ineligible for political asylum. The number of Greek flags among the protesters in Mytilene today also signals that many Greeks fear being swamped by people of another culture, especially Muslims. They feel a sort of existential threat. And as long as Greece remains a magnet for the dispossessed of Western Asia, that sentiment can be expected to grow. I'm John Carr in Athens for Vatican News.
Rohingya refugees who fled persecution and violence in Myanmar are praying for justice as the International Court of Justice, ICJ, in The Hague prepares to deliver an initial verdict in a genocide case filed against Myanmar. More than 730,000 Muslim Rohingya fled an army offensive in Myanmar's Rakhine state in 2017. The United Nations says gang rapes and mass killings were carried out with genocidal intent. Hundreds of villages were burned to the ground and later razed. Myanmar denies the charges of genocide. In Burkina Faso, scores of civilians were killed this week in what the government has called a terrorist attack on a market in a north-central province. Linda Bordoni reports.
36 civilians were murdered on Monday in Burkina Faso's San Matenga province when armed militants forced their way into the market of the village of Alamou. A government statement said the militants first attacked the people and then burnt the market structure to the ground. The bloodshed is part of a surge in violence in the West African country that has killed hundreds, forced nearly a million from their homes and made much of the north ungovernable over the past 2 years. Pope Francis and the Catholic bishops of Burkina Faso have called for the promotion of interreligious dialogue in an attempt to protect the people and find solutions to the violence. Meanwhile, the government in Ouagadougou released a statement saying these repeated attacks on innocent civilians called for real cooperation between defence and security forces. President Roch Marc Kabore called for 2 days of national mourning in response to the attack. Although it was not immediately clear who was responsible for the massacre, Islamist groups with links to Al-Qaeda and to so-called Islamic State have carried out increasingly brazen attacks against civilian and military targets in Burkina Faso in recent months, including an attack on a mining convoy in November that killed almost 40 people. The country was once a pocket of relative calm in the Sahel region, but the recent local insurgency has been amplified by a spillover of jihadist violence and criminality from Mali on Burkina Faso's northern border. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Authorities in China and beyond stepped up efforts to control an outbreak of a new flu-like coronavirus on Wednesday, as the death toll rose to 9 with 440 confirmed cases, while suspicion grew that the virus crossed to humans from animals. China discouraged public gatherings in Hubei province, where the virus emerged last month, and tightened containment measures in hospitals, while the World Health Organization was due to hold an emergency meeting to determine whether the outbreak constituted a global health emergency. A Catholic church in southern India's Bangalore city was desecrated by miscreants on Monday, with the Blessed Sacrament scattered all over the ground. The local archbishop has invited all the faithful of the archdiocese to observe a day of atonement on Friday for the profanation of the body of Christ. Robin Gomes has the details.
The incident took place in St. Francis Assisi Catholic Church in the Kangeri suburb of Bangalore. The parish priest, Capuchin Father Satish Kumar, has filed a complaint with the local police and an investigation is underway. In a press release, Archbishop Peter Machado of Bangalore said that miscreants destroyed, damaged and vandalized the altar and broke open the tabernacle, scattering the sacred hosts, the body of Christ, all over the ground. I am deeply disturbed and terribly shocked and also greatly grieved that desecration was done to Lord Jesus Christ, who is present in the Holy Eucharist, which is kept in the tabernacle in that church. He said the sacrilege and serious dishonor done to our blessed Lord and Savior is a matter of great concern, not only to the parishioners of St. Francis Assisi Parish, but it also seriously affects the religious sentiments of all of us in the entire archdiocese and also all the members of the Catholic community worldwide. In such cases, he explained, normally the whole diocese does penance and reparation in the churches and religious houses for such sacrilegious and ignominious deeds. Archbishop Machado thus requested all the faithful of the Archdiocese to observe Friday, January the 24th, as a day of reparation to praise, worship and glorify the Eucharistic Lord in a very special way. He also called for prayers for those who committed the sacrilegious act. Parish priests and chaplains have been asked to expose the Blessed Sacrament for at least 12 hours in all the churches and religious houses of the Archdiocese for public adoration and veneration. The Archbishop hoped that the police and investigators will spare no efforts to bring to book the perpetrators of the heinous crime and find out the motive behind the ignominious deed. I'm Robin Gomes.
And finally, the 27th of January will mark the 75th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camp, where 1.1 million people were killed by the Nazi regime during World War II. Leading up to the anniversary, Pope Francis last Saturday recalled visiting the camp in 2016 to reflect and to pray in silence. He used the occasion to urge mankind to keep memory alive, saying that if we lose our memory, we destroy our future. May the anniversary of the unspeakable cruelty that humanity learned of 75 years ago serve as a summons to pause, to be still and to remember, the Pope said. We need to do this, lest we become indifferent. Amid political upheaval, world leaders will gather twice to mark the 75th anniversary. There will be two ceremonies, one in Jerusalem on Thursday and the other at the Auschwitz site in southern Poland on Monday. Stefan Boss reports.
As winter sets in, U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi led a congressional delegation to the Auschwitz Memorial Site in Poland. Her visit comes ahead of the 75th anniversary of the day Soviet troops liberated one of the worst death camps of World War II. From 1940 to 1945, some 1.1 million people died here. Most of them were Jews from across Europe. But there were also Poles, Roma and Russian prisoners of war who died. They and the Jewish people were shot to death, killed in gas chambers, or died of starvation, or another mistreatment here at Auschwitz-Birkenau. The Red Army liberated the camp on January 27, 1945. It's an event now observed annually as International Holocaust Remembrance Day. In total, some 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust or Shoah. Yet the commemorations risk being overshadowed by a bitter dispute between Poland, where Nazi German occupiers operated Auschwitz and other infamous camps, and Russia, the successor state to the Soviet Union. Poland recalled that the Soviet Union signed a non-aggression accord with the Nazis shortly before the war began in 1939, known as the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact. It contained a secret protocol in which the totalitarian powers agreed to carve up Eastern Europe. 2 years later, Germany turned on Kremlin leader Joseph Stalin and invaded the Soviet Union. That brought the Soviets into the war on the side of the Allies. Millions of Red Army soldiers lost their lives in the eventual defeat of Adolf Hitler's Germany. But Russian President Vladimir Putin has sought to shift wartime blame to Poland. He is angry that historical memory in the West has begun to focus more on the Soviet role in triggering the war and less on its role in defeating Germany. But that outraged the Polish government, which believes Putin's main motive is to weaken Polish influence in the European Union. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to Joe Mauriello in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.